Stanley with you guys tonight, filling in for Dave Plyer. So happy to get to be with you twice in 1 week. This is very exciting. It is officially Christmas music time. I've been listening to Christmas music since 6 minutes after trick-or-treating was over. But now it seems more socially acceptable since we have gotten through Thanksgiving. It was so nice to drive back into town today. It was already a little bit into evening. The sun was setting. So when we pulled back into town tonight, we were able to see all the Christmas tree lights were up and people had decorated their houses. It's so nice because the weather has been very, very temperate, especially for this time of year, this late in November. And this week is going to be phenomenal. Roger, you just gave the weather, but it's going to be in the 50s.
Yeah, 40s and 50s for the highs on and off during the week. We're going to have some rain,
okay.
Not snow.
Fine.
I mean, if the rain continues, I don't know the specifics of the 7 day for the overnights, but if it does rain on the overnights, it will get down to, you know, in the low 30s.
Okay.
So it may turn into some wet snow. But
unless I'm here filling in for Nick or Bubala or Plyer, I don't care what it is during the overnights.
You will be safely ensconced in your abode.
A down comforter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some sort of duvet.
Ooh, we are fancy.
Well, you know, very, very fancy. Hey, a couple of things that we're going to talk to you about, but I did see the countdown has begun. Hanukkah is now, I think, because it's after midnight, 16 days.
Yeah, I forgot to put up the 16.
Well, that's okay. I mean, you've got time.
Yes, I do. I have all day. But with my schedule today on Sunday, because I'm back at 5 o'clock tonight,
right?
I need to make sure I do certain things social media wise.
So do that now.
I will.
During the break, because you don't have to do traffic.
I get my phone out
during the break.
Now.
That'd be good. So 16 days, 2 weeks and 2 days until Hanukkah. That's very early.
Well, it switches around.
I know.
Because it's on the Hebrew calendar.
Yes.
So sometimes it comes at the end of November. Sometimes it comes just after Christmas. It's a pretty normal time of the year for it.
Is it?
Middle of December, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Well,
yeah.
I was going to say
I have been in the past, but
December.
I'm okay with that.
And your family double celebrates.
Yes, we
you
do.
You are
yeah.
a dual celebration
mm-hmm.
family.
Mm-hmm.
You're the best kind.
Well, because they make out like bandits, and I go broke. And why do you think I work for the whole year? You know, it's kind of afforded. But my kids have been letting me off the hook. They've been telling me, you don't have to get us the same dreidel every year. And I go, okay.
Did you buy them a gold-plated dreidel typically?
No. I usually get them a Disney dreidel.
Ooh.
And those are like very cool and just a tad on the expensive side, but they're
really?
Like collector's items.
Okay, I was going to say, is that like a Disney store item? Because
No, they are sold in Hebrew stores.
Like Hamaker Gallery?
Yeah, well, okay. Which is unfortunately not around anymore.
No, that's
yeah,
a bummer.
Yeah, they closed over a year ago, I think.
Oh my goodness.
I think you can still order online.
Okay.
But and there's catalogs. There's a catalog that I bought from before. But yeah, it's Disney has been selling Disney character dreidels for several decades. So either a company has licensed it, or Disney has decided to get into the business, or whatever. But it's officially licensed, so it's pretty cool.
Bob Iger, who was the CEO, I believe, was Jewish. And then I don't know about Michael Eisner. But
at Disney, yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that they would have
interesting okay.
A focus, at least, especially mm-hmm. because a large portion of the population is, in fact, Jewish and celebrates mm-hmm. Hanukkah. And you would think, boy, that's a money-making opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Disney doesn't usually miss out on those.
No, they're very smart people
but
at Disney.
But I did not realize that this is something that had been going on. I'm fascinated to Google these when I get home later.
Yeah, definitely. They're well-made. They're larger dreidels, wood, and characters painted on all four sides. And
do they do themes? So 1 year would be...
I don't think they leave it to a theme a year. I don't think that's the case.
Because they do that with other things sometimes.
Yeah, and it's mostly Mickey Mouse and that line of characters. It's not the princesses. It's not the...
Boy, they're missing out on that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's just the Mickey Mouse line of characters. Minnie Mouse, Donald Duck, Goofy, those.
The Fab
And they also
five.
Make menorahs, Disney-themed menorahs.
This is something I'm really intrigued by. This I have to
because I know you love Disney.
I do,
yeah,
very much. Mm-hmm. I'm going to count down for the next trip.
There you go.
It's been at least 6 weeks since I've been. So it was August. I was last there in August. Well, this was a bizarre year. We got to go a lot this past year.
That's
so,
nice.
But that won't happen this year.
Yeah.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Very nice. The only thing missing was Bridget. She was homesick.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, usually I'm homesick or I'm working.
Right.
So this year was a complete opposite. She was homesick. She's doing much better. Of course, I brought home some leftovers, and she has devoured them since.
So she's feeling better.
Yeah, she's feeling lots better.
That's wonderful.
But we had it over at a very old and close friend of our daughter's. Her and her family invited our daughter and our grandkids and myself, and you know, Bridget couldn't make it, and stress-free. I didn't have to do anything except park the car and walk inside and relax, take it easy, watch a little football. Not that I was into the games, but they were on. The kids were playing and having a grand time, and different aged kids.
That's always fun.
You know, there was like I think about a 4 or 5 year old, and then our two granddaughters who are older, and then an older, like 18 year old.
Oh wow!
And her girlfriend and her girlfriend's friend, partner, and our daughter, and we had excellent food, nice turkey. She said she put butter under the skin.
Sure.
Does that sound right?
That's a thing you can do.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was extremely moist and juicy and delicious.
Yeah, it would be. You can actually inject it. It's much like putting in a brine or seasoning that you can actually inject under the skin.
Oh,
you can do
okay.
that with a butter. You melt it down and inject it.
I just thought if you're lifting up the skin and putting stuff under, then suddenly the skin is just like hanging there.
No.
You've stretched it.
No, it's not like when you lose weight.
Oh, okay.
No, it's different.
I just think there's skin hanging off the turkey.
No, it's like when you get a shot and then your skin just closes right back up. It's fine.
Okay.
It's very similar.
Very elastic. then our daughter brought over a barbecue brisket.
Ooh,
from
now we're
Pit
talking.
Barbecue. And she works there.
Oh.
And for that company.
Sure.
And so that was good. And
leftovers were not brought in tonight, so I'm guessing there were none.
Yeah, none.
Okay.
None. People did gorge themselves.
Let's do a couple of housekeeping things. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back. 312-981-7200 is the number that you can text in or call in throughout the entire show. I have the text line up and open, and we will be watching your text throughout the show. I do want to open up the text line already. Maybe you're listening and you're going to drift off to sleep, but I want to get your opinions on things prior to that. So you can text in, again, that number, 312-981-7200. Places to go that get you into the holiday spirit. Of course, we all love Tree Time, fabulous sponsor here on WGN Radio. But we're going to be talking after the 2:30 news with Roger Badish about places you can go to get you into the holiday spirit. The place that I went last night was Castle Noel, which you can do on a day trip, and it is worth it. I'm going to tell you all about it. Also, another place that's in the same general vicinity that you guys will all know about. And then, but places that you guys want to go to, you know, do you go and cut down your own tree? And, you know, what farm do you go to? Different places that you go. Geneva, downtown Geneva is a great place to go. You can go to the All Chocolate Kitchen, and they make homemade candy canes and do awesome stuff out there in Geneva. So places along those lines, where do you go with your friends or your family, the kids, to really get in the holiday spirit? Again, 312-981-7200. We'll be taking your calls after the 2:30 news, but you can start texting in those ideas. Now, Hannah Stanley filling in for Dave Plyer. I will be back on WGN right after this.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
I know him. Man, you can always tell when it's the E Street Band, can't you?
Yeah.
Always. Hey, that's Joe. Joe's producing for me tonight. Thank you, Joe.
How you doing?
Good. I gave you that first segment off. I told you I was going to talk to you. And you're like, I'm just going to need a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Still catching up just a little bit.
I understand. Joe has been here for 42 straight hours.
Yeah.
And he will be back again tomorrow, much like you, Roger Badish.
Hey. It's all fun.
It is. You know what? We opened the show with my ultimate favorite non-religious Christmas song. My favorite all-time Christmas song is Oh Holy Night. I just think it's beautiful and splendid. But Darlene Love, Baby Please Come Back, or whatever it is. Oh my God, Darlene Love. She used to sing it every year on Letterman.
Mm-hmm. And every year, he always had a different staging of it.
Yes.
And there's a video on YouTube of all the appearances.
Really?
Yeah. And I think it's like the song, but all the appearances are within the song. So it keeps switching.
Oh, I am YouTubing that.
Yeah. I think I saw it last year. That's so I can't give you the specifics of it.
No, but I'll find it. 312-981-7200. I'll say that again. If you are wanting to participate in our conversation about places you go to get into the Christmas spirit, and it doesn't even have to be local. You know, if you go to New York every year and look at the store windows, and believe it or not, we're actually going to talk about those for a special reason coming up in the next half an hour. 312-981-7200. You can text those in. Right now, we're starting to get a whole bunch of people suggesting where they go to get into the holiday spirit. Places for the kids, places for you, places that remind you. I will tell you, the place, Roger, you'll remember when State Street used to be a mall.
Yes, I was there for the dedication with Jane Byrne.
Of course you were. You were there for every dedication in the city. People don't understand how deep-reaching you were. But we used to always, when I was younger, obviously, and we used to always go down and look at the windows at Marshall Fields and the windows at Carson's, and we would get roasted chestnuts when they still had the street vendors. Mm-hmm. That was a really special
time. I remember going to Fields as a young child. Mm-hmm. Our parents would bring us downtown. It was always a treat to come downtown Chicago because when I was about four, so in 56-ish, 55, 56-ish, we moved to Evanston from Chicago and lived the majority of my life there, even though I've been living in Chicago now for 36 years.
Yeah.
And so going downtown was a real special treat.
Sure. Did you get dressed up? Because we always got dressed up.
Well, we didn't get dressed up per se. We just, I didn't know what wearing jeans and a crappy, dirty t-shirt was like until I got older in college.
Right.
And then I realized, wow, this feels a lot better than having to wear all those button-up shirts. And
yeah, no, we always had Christmas dresses.
Oh, no, no,
we would wear fancy shoes.
We dressed nice.
Right.
You know, it wasn't the old Sunday go to meet and dressing up.
Sure.
But we dressed very nice. And to the point of, you're wearing that shirt? No.
Right.
We would go down, not every year. It wasn't an annual thing, but I remember at least once that we went to Marshall Fields. We looked at the windows. I was just enthralled. We went up to the toy center.
Yep, fifth floor.
I believe we stood in line. I don't have a picture. Ooh, wait a minute. I might have one. of well, Us with Santa.
You know what? I think actually at Christmas time, the toys used to be on 7 because it was the Walnut Room, and then you would kind of go over to Toyland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And by the way, I think I said this, but just in case I didn't, Hannah Stanley filling in for Dave Plyer tonight.
In case you're wondering why Dave's voice is higher.
I know. <It's>, he sounds very effeminate. So Dave worked a ton this week early in the morning and then took the rest of the week off as he should have. So thank you to Dave Plyer for letting me sit in tonight with you guys. We are talking about actually after the news, we're going to be talking about places you go to get into the holiday spirit, and you can text those into 312-981-7200, and we'll be welcoming your calls after that as well. Roger, I know you are a Jewish man,
mm-hmm.
but do you have a favorite Christmas song?
Actually, I have a ton of them, and they're all together. I have fallen in love with, other than the Charlie Brown Christmas, which is like the whole album as far as music goes.
That is it. And it's so soothing. I can listen to it throughout the whole year.
Right. But I fell in love with an album, which I got rid of when I got rid of all my music many years ago. And I have since recovered the album because you can't find it on CD.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Williams Brothers Christmas album. On one side, they have about 5 or 6 Christmas songs, mm-hmm. each individual track. But on the second side, it is one continuous track of Christmas songs, carols, modern day songs, whatever. All the music doesn't stop, and they just smoothly go from one into another with that four-part harmony that the Williams brothers were so famous for.
So in the day, you mm-hmm. could put on the B-side and mm-hmm. put the needle on the record, mm-hmm. put the needle on the record.
That's right.
And then it would just go through. So you could have yourself a merry little party
yep.
without having to really worry about awkward gaps.
Exactly.
How cool.
And seriously, the harmony would just like drift through your entire body. So that specific thing is the one that I remember most as far as Christmas music goes, other than, again, like I said, the Charlie Brown Christmas, which is always one of my favorite. But as far as Christmas
one song
yeah. a one
Cause mine,
song.
Because mine, Darlene Love, Baby, Please Come Home.
Well, I'll have to say this because she might be listening.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my good friends, who I also used to work for.
Gloria.
Yep.
Yep.
She holds this annual Christmas party at her place. And she puts together every year brand new songbook.
I have to get invited to this party.
I need to invite you guys.
All right.
I will talk it over and we will get you invited.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
We are going to take a quick break. And then on the other side of that quick break, I'm going to hand you over to Roger Badish for the 2:30 news. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Dave Plyer. And by the way, a very nice hello to Darius listening from Batavia, who just texted in 312-981-7200. Like I said, 2 minutes, we'll get you guys to the news. Here we go, WGN.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph. Randolph ain't too far behind.
Welcome back to WGN. It's Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Dave Plyer. You're not hearing things. Dave does not have a weird cold. It is me. I'm filling in for him this week. He was on a lot during the mornings, and so he took the rest of the weekend off. Hannah Stanley sitting in until 5 o'clock this morning. I'm so excited anytime I get to be on the air and talk with you. And we are welcoming your phone calls, 312-981-7200. Of course, you can continue texting. We're getting quite a few ideas of things that put you into the holiday spirit, places you go, places you have gone or taken the kids to, etc., to really make you feel like the holidays are coming or put you into the mood. I will tell you, I went to a new place just last night, actually. I went to outside of Cleveland. My sister lives outside of Cleveland in a little town called Medina, Ohio. And they have a place there called Castle Noel. It is really cool. It is, and I'm not kidding, I don't say this lightly, I hate road trips. I cannot stand driving places. It's worth the drive. It is America's largest indoor year-round Christmas entertainment attraction. When you start your tour through 42,000 square feet of Christmas complex, it is what I believe to be an office building that was next to a church that was next to an office building, and they've kind of taken over the whole expanse. You watch a little video at the beginning of the tour, and he goes, "Okay, well, we'll see you in 2 hours," and people are like, "Ha ha ha! 2 hours? No, it's 2 hours." It is really worthwhile. The man who started this and has put this all together is a full-on artist, has created all kinds of statues and things, but also does restoration on a lot of really remarkable Christmas memorabilia. He has within this really museum. And by the way, you can go to the website at castlenoel.com. There is the Winnebago from Christmas Story. You see that. There's two pieces of set that he made for the Cleveland Ballet, which is it's the Rat King, right? And then the Nutcracker.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that he made for that. And they are probably 15 to 20 feet tall.
Ooh.
Right. Really remarkable. But then it gets into the really neat memorabilia where the rest of the tour is cool memorabilia. Items up to and including Buddy the Elf's costume that was worn by Will Ferrell.
I did see you posted that. And yes. I'm thinking, where was she that she was at an elf costume? I mean, at first I thought it was a museum of broadcast communication. I think,
No.
They don't have the elf costume there.
They don't. They have a set piece from Christmas with the Cranks. They've
right.
got stuff from Fred Claus. They have, they have the home, the house from Deck of the Halls that I think Matthew Broderick was in that. But it was a competition between the neighbors. It's always a competition
between the neighbors, isn't it? Right.
But the house that they used, they didn't actually use a house. They used a scale model of a house that was maybe 24 to 30 inches in length. And that's there. So all of these really, really intricate set pieces, including Cindy Lou Who's bedroom.
No way.
It's really cool. And I think it's even cooler for the adults. Because at one point, my daughter was bored enough that she couldn't support her body weight. And then she got better. She was like, "Mom, this is not fun." And then all of a sudden, she was like, "No, it's fun now."
Okay.
Because they've got items from the Santa Claus 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
All of these different things. There's stuff for everyone. And I'm telling you, from like if you're, you know, just across the border in Indiana, it's maybe 4.5-5 hour drive. Easily doable in a day.
Mm.
Very, very, very cool tour.
You know, I've seen places on TV of people who collect movie TV things.
Yep.
Usually by themes.
Not like this guy.
All right. So this it's not just his house with all of his collectibles out there.
2,000 square feet of display.
That's a lot of collectibles.
His workshop. Uh-huh. I haven't even talked about a couple of, there's like three other things I have to make sure I mention.
Mm-hmm.
He has an entire workshop that is jam-packed with cool things that he's restoring, fixing, etc. And then he has apparently a warehouse that is full to the ceiling of other things that he can cycle through. It's open year-round. It's remarkable.
But it's all Christmas-themed.
All of it. Primarily Christmas movie themes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
The coolest thing is at the end, you go upstairs, meet Santa, get to tell him what you want for Christmas, and then you go down the slide.
No way.
That Ralphie went down, the exact same slide, 25-foot slide.
The cotton ball clouds,
yes.
The snow around it. Oh, no.
On your belly?
You don't go on your belly. They don't allow
you. Does he push you with your foot? With
I wanted foot? Him to. I wanted him to, but he said no.
Darn.
But what is my favorite part of the attraction, well, the entire, I would call it a museum, is the New York store windows that they have taken in their entirety. Typically, these displays, the Saks Fifth Avenue, Lord & Taylor, Macy's windows, are made and then destroyed on New Year's Day. Because they don't want them going up on eBay and being, you know, pilfered. Yeah. So they will spend hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars creating these. And by the way, there is an award ceremony for these windows. So they're competing for who has the best windows. And of course, if you have a big crowd outside your window, then they're going to come in the store.
Sure.
So this is this makes them a lot of money. But he has relationships with these stores. He has the entire 2016 Saks Fifth Avenue window display, which is phenomenal. And it's six huge windows that you're able to walk by. He has a clock from Lord & Taylor that's just this sparkly winterland of woodland creatures. Really, really beautiful. And I posted also, if you follow me on Instagram or Facebook, and you can, Hannah Stanley. And actually on Instagram, it's that Hannah Stanley. I have a quick video of the Bloomingdale's 2009 window, which was a tree, a Christmas tree made of sparkly high-heeled shoes, which to me was just perfection.
So did you just happen to come across this place, or was it a recommendation of some sort?
Well, my sister lives in the town where this place is. And so this was something she was like, if you come, we'll go to Castle Noel. So this is always kind of, you know, like, it's sort of one of those things like, well, if you come to Chicago, we'll go see Hamilton, or, you know, one of the 8,000 other things that we can do in the city. Medina is this great little town. It has the quaintest little town square that has a Christmas tree in the gazebo, and just really, I mean, you can't go wrong going to this town to kind of experience it. But like I said, it's not a far drive.
And was there any other show and tell type kind of things, like where you were, I guess, interactive besides the slide? What else could you, you know, go and play around with?
Well, there's not a ton of touchy-feely. They have the costumes from A Christmas Story starring Patrick Stewart, but that's kind of behind, you know, in display. So there's not a ton, like I said. Oh, there is a thing that you can walk through called the Santa Squeeze. So it's as if you're Santa going through a chimney. And it squeezes you.
Oh, and it takes a picture? Or
no. You can take pictures anywhere except for on the slide, and then they take pictures for you.
Oh, cool.
I have a picture, actually, of my nephew. It's the sweetest picture of him going down the slide, and it expresses just really the perfect childlike joy of what that is. Someone from 630 is texting, and what's the name of the Christmas place again? It is called Castle Noel. And I really don't think you would be disappointed. I thoroughly enjoyed it. My husband, who never gets into stuff like this, was like, that was really cool. It is 2 hours jam-packed of Christmas spirit. And the man who runs it, whose name is Mark, I will have on at some point on the air here. But he told people that he's North Polish. I thought it was funny.
Ba-bum.
Very, very funny. The other thing that you can do if you are in the area and you've gone to Castle Noel, you've taken my recommendation and you've driven that far, people, the Christmas Story house is there. After you go down Ralphie's slide, you can drive on straight into Cleveland.
And that's where the
actual Christmas Story house. And I will tell you, this is a really hard website to remember. AChristmasStoryHouse.com.
Hold on a second. How do you spell that?
So it's CastleNoel.com, exactly how you would think it would be spelled.
Right.
And then AChristmasStoryHouse.com. You can even spend the night there. I have not done
what?
That.
What?
Yeah.
You mean you like a hotel room kind of B&B kind of thing?
It might be on Airbnb. I don't know.
I'll be a son of a gun.
Yes.
Can you lick the frozen flagpole?
I don't know. I don't know.
Not without a real good insurance policy.
But they're actually doing a Christmas Story watch party there on December 17th. So this is something I don't often encourage people to go to Cleveland, but this is kind of a fun thing. I was very impressed by the places. We're going to take a quick break. Please continue sending in your places to get in the Christmas spirit. We're going to be talking about those and welcoming your calls to 312-981-7200. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Dave Plyer. Right back after this.
It was December 24th on Hollis Avenue, the dark, when I seen a man chilling with his dog at the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog, oh my God, an ill reindeer. But then I was feeling for the man at a beer.
A little Run DMC action. I was just having a flashback. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Dave Plyer. I'll be with you guys until 5 a.m. Coming up after the 3 o'clock news, Johnny Olesinski, former Tribune theater writer, current New York Post writer. It's hard for me to say that sometimes because I miss
Why?
Him. I miss him.
Oh, well. Well, you know where he is.
I know. I just wish he was still upstairs.
Dang, Raj.
Sorry.
She's opening up.
Sorry.
And you're just like,
I know.
Nah, dude.
I apologize.
That's it.
I saw the opening. I went in with the knife and I turned it. I apologize. You know that's not the kind of person I am.
I'm vulnerable. No. So So Johnny joins us. We're going to talk about multiple things, including. The sexual harassment scandal and how that's taken care of many different things going on in Hollywood and even New York and TV productions. But we get into that a little bit later. Currently, 312-981-7200. We welcome your phone calls. We are getting tons and tons of texts. We are going to try to read as many as possible, places that get you into the holiday spirit. I was thrown into the holiday spirit. One, I love Christmas. Christmas is amazing. It's happy. It just, the lights make me feel good. I just love the coziness that happens in my heart around the Christmas time. And I think it's something about the white lights and the colored lights and Michigan Avenue is decorated and our studio is beautifully decorated. Thank you, Tree Time. But people are texting in where they go to get into the holiday spirit. So you can text yours in as well. 312-981-7200. Chris Kindle Market.
Downtown.
Downtown. But now there's one up at Wrigley Field as
well. That's right. Mm-hmm.
If you've been there, please let us know how that is. I have some friends who went there and said it was marvelous. But I don't know if it's as big. I don't know how it compares in size. The one at Daly Plaza is, of course, the plaza size. But that's very famous. They start working on that early. And you get those boots full of spirits. That's a thing. The Woodstock Square lighting. We had a texter say that that put her into the holiday spirit, and that happened yesterday.
Oh,
so
okay.
Yeah, so we missed it, but put that down for next year. So thank you, Sandy, who texted that in from 779 area code. She says you can take a carriage ride and listen to the holiday music on the weekends. That sounds really, really fun. And Woodstock is, of course, where they filmed Roger Groundhog Day.
Yes.
All right, good. Thank you for
playing. I'm sorry. Actually, you caught me as I'm putting together a newscast.
Oh, working.
So my brain is...
That pesky work. 630 texted in, the place I go to get into the holiday mood is my storage shed in the backyard. That's where he keeps the decorations for the house. And he or she never does this until the day after Thanksgiving. I will tell you, this year and last year, I've done this 2 years in a row now, my holiday decorations go up early, like midnight on Halloween. And like, we're
really?
Done. Yes. And here's why. Because I always...
Wait, that Halloween? No.
No. Now listen, step it down.
Yes,
I was very adamant that it was always Thanksgiving. The day after Thanksgiving, that was it. Maybe Thanksgiving night, if the turkey coma had worn off, then I would venture to the basement and start bringing things up. And then we get in, you know, the kids involved. But here's the thing. I really love how beautiful the house looks. And the kids love it. And it takes me a while. I'm not the get up at 6 a.m. and decorate until midnight girl. Mm-hmm. So we do it with the kids. The kids want to be very involved, and they, you know, they only have like an hour here, an hour there in them. Right. So we start kind of the beginning of November, and then by like the week before Thanksgiving, it's pretty much done. And then I get to actually enjoy it for the whole period instead of like rushing to get it done by December 15th and then getting 10 days. Once Christmas is over, I'm done.
I gotcha. Sure.
Like New Year's Day, it comes down.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
That I'm still adamant about.
Yeah.
So for all of you early decorators, I apologize for my scoffing earlier in my life, but I'm one of you now. So.
Yeah, there were lights up on a couple of apartment buildings on our block, one of our blocks.
This week?
It was Thanksgiving night, just like what you do.
See,
and
I'll
there were trees up, though, in some of the front windows at least 2 weeks before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we had trees up. The first week in November.
Wow.
Two. Jeez. Yes. Well, four, because the kids have trees in their room, tiny trees.
Yeah, but see, you've got the young kids.
That's it.
And that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I don't know how long that this will last, but mm-hmm. I just really, really enjoy sitting at night with mm-hmm. the tree lit. And it's just, it's a lovely thing for me. 412 texted in, since the department stores are going away, I think people go to the public displays more. Then, you know, because the Marshall Fields of the world don't exist really as much. So there aren't, you know, the suburban shopping malls.
Are the suburban shopping malls. They do their holiday displays.
If they even, there's not a lot of those left anymore.
That's
either.
True. Yeah.
But they said also people drive through and go see the lights. A neighbor of mine came up with the idea to rent a limo and have the limo drive a couple of families around and go see the Christmas lights kind
in
of
the
as
different
a fun
neighborhoods.
Thing. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then
we did the same thing
maybe
too.
Maybe the parents could imbibe.
Yeah.
That
when,
wasn't my
when
suggestion.
Our, when our daughter was young, Bridget said, let's go drive through these neighborhoods. I've heard from my friends that these neighborhoods look cool.
Yeah.
And we would do that. And, but then, our daughter got a little older, and we kind of got away from that, you know, work and everything. We didn't have the time, and then we just decorated our own place.
Well, now,
but, you know, getting driven around and liquored up sounds even more fun.
It seems like something you,
getting
Joe,
getting into
would
the
be
holiday
involved.
Spirit,
yeah,
is that what
in
you're saying?
In fact, I think my
bringing
ears perked right when
some
Anna
holiday
said
spirit.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bringing along your own holiday spirit. The kids are glued to the windows. The parents are glued to the bar. Everybody's happy. This seems, but I don't know why this never occurred to me. But like, yeah, let's do that. Let's all collectively, three families, pitch in for a limo for 2 hours and go
cool.
look at Christmas lights.
Yeah.
I know. I got to get that scheduled. We appreciate everybody's calls and texts. 312-981-7200. We will be taking more throughout the program as well. 4 o'clock hour is when we're going to be talking, at least the first half of the 4 o'clock hour is when we're going to be talking to Roger Badish about really the lasting legacy of Mayor Harold Washington, who passed away 30 years ago. It seems to me like the 80s were still 10 years ago. So
really?
It's odd to me that it's been 30 years since he passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. At some point, like I was 20 and then now it's today. Poof. I don't know how that happened.
wow. Time. What a concept.
Who knew? Like, where did my kids come from? I don't remember that. But it's been 30 years today, because in my brain, it's still Saturday. But it was the 25th is mm-hmm. the 30 year anniversary.
Yeah,
and you
away.
Were on his staff. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be talking to you about that after the 4 o'clock news. We're going to take a quick break. We will come back and then I will turn you over for the 3 o'clock news. And then Johnny Olesinski is going to join us after that, talking about so many things, including the Disney Pixar new film, Coco. Talk to you in just a second. Hannah Stanley filling in for Dave Flyer on WGN.
Who's John? She said, and smiled in her special way. John, she said, you know I love you. Who's John? She
WGN,
said,
Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Dave Flyer. Happy to be with here. Be here with you as I always am. You know, a frequent guest of mine when I am on the airways here talking to you guys is my friend Johnny Olesinski, former theater writer for the Chicago Tribune, current entertainment writer for the New York Post. Johnny Olesinski, how are you?
I'm good, Hannah. How are you?
Good. Thank you for, I know it's very late for you, so thank you for jumping on, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for having me from New York. I always like to, you know, get these New York ideas into the minds of Chicagoans.
Well, that is not something we're going to touch on. There's several topics I have been dying to talk to you about, one of which you had a huge spread, this huge movie review in the New York Post, and it's the movie that I'm most excited to see this holiday season, Coco.
Yeah, Coco. You mentioned the huge spread. It's a nice thing. I'm one of our movie critics, along with Sarah Stewart, who's our chief movie critic, and I usually get kind of the bottom of the barrel movies, but I was sort of lucky because Sarah had a cold and couldn't make the screening, so I got to go see Coco. I'm a big Pixar fan, as it sounds like you are.
Yes.
And admittedly, with the last few Pixar movies, I enjoyed Inside Out. I thought it was a little too clever, a little too academic.
It was animation for grown-ups. The kids did not get it.
I called it Pixar for grad students.
Yes.
And then you had something like Cars 3, which is, you know, kind of an old Disney franchise, a little too toddler-esque, right? But Coco is really good for the entire family. It's a really beautiful movie about Dia de Muertos, you know, the Day of the Dead, and it takes place in a small Mexican town, and this little boy, all he wants to do is play music, but his family forbids him from doing it. So he goes to the land of the dead to get a blessing from an ancestor. And the visual landscapes are spectacular, like you'd expect from Pixar, and the creativity is all there, but my God, the end of that movie is like a punch in the gut of emotion. You will be sobbing.
Okay,
and your kids are going to be like, Mommy, why are you a mess?
Okay, spoiler alert for those of us who are hypersensitive to movie characters. I'm actually going to see it on December 2nd. I'm very excited, and I've been excited for a very long time to see it. I will tell you, I'm almost as excited that the Incredibles 2 trailer launched the other day. That's in the summer, so I'm counting the virtual days already.
Well, the Incredibles is amazing. The Incredibles, that's one that's like the glory days of Pixar.
Right.
You know, back when, because, you know, I like these interesting concepts, and I like Ratatouille, and of course, WALL-E, and, you know, my favorite is Up. But like Up, if you don't cry during Up, I question whether you have a soul. But lately, I have been a little more disenchanted, and this one brought me right back on the Pixar train. I think they're just as creative and clever. Also great, are you a Frozen fan?
Yes, very much.
So we at least have one song by Robert Lopez and Christian Anderson Lopez, his wife, called Remember Me, which is sort of this lovely romantic Latin ballad.
And Robert Lopez, he's EGOTed. He's one of very few people who is EGOTed, which is Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony.
Right. And he, you know, he taught us how to let it go.
He did, in fact, teach us to let it go. Speaking of that, that opens on Broadway in February, Frozen.
It does. So now the last time that you and I chatted, I think we had talked about the outlook for the Frozen Broadway show.
Yes.
And how there'd been some tumult in the creative team and exactly what to expect from it. So now at least we know. So it did open in Denver.
Yes.
Over the summer, it broke all the records at like the Denver Performing Arts Center, wherever the tryouts are had there.
Yes.
And the New York Times reviewed it, and your Chicago Tribune reviewed it.
Yes, Chris Jones did. Yes.
Chris Jones did, and his verdict was that they sort of need to find the soul in the show, right? I think they need to bring it probably more to the Wicked sensibility, where our heart needs to go out. It can't just be a recreation of a Disney cartoon on stage.
Which has worked for them in the past. Lion King is very true to the film. Beauty and the Beast,
it
very
is,
true to the
visually,
film.
But visually, it's a little different, right? You have the...
Yeah.
kind of crazy masks and
more conceptual animals.
Well, like, so my colleague Michael Riedel, who is the Broadway gossip columnist of the New York Post, he's working on a book about the 90s on Broadway, mostly Rent, Chicago, and The Lion King, and how these shows revitalized Broadway at a time it needed to be revitalized. And he always remembers going to see the tryout of The Lion King and, you know, being flabbergasted and enthused like he's never been in a theater to this day. Wow. And he is not a sentimental guy, let me tell you. So he was just so taken by this theatricality and this invention. And from what I've heard, he also went to see Frozen. He wrote about Frozen for us. And he wrote positively. He talked to a lot of the fans about how they felt about it, because, you know, ultimately this is comes down to what 12-year-old girls think, not what 50-year-old theater writers think. And they loved it, but he was not quite as taken. I think that's so important, right?
Right. No, it is important because, truthfully, I mean, the parents are the ones paying for these $85 at a minimum tickets. So you need to be true to the movie so that the kids will tell their friends, I knew all the songs, but you also need to have the parents bankroll this. So it does have to be something that much like the movie, touches multiple generations.
By the way, Hannah, in 2018, $85 is going to be a movie ticket. So
I know.
$85 at a minimum is right.
I was thinking balcony during a matinee. In Poughkeepsie, not in New York City. I know how these prices go. So I love that we were talking about Pixar movies, and I somehow got us straight over to Broadway, which is where we usually end up anyway. Last time we talked, it was prior to the Tonys. I was a little bit leery of what was going on with the host for the Tonys, who was Kevin Spacey, who had a horrible time hosting, got terrible reviews, and really his year has only gotten worse.
Yeah, and terrible reviews, including from me.
Yes. If you had given him a better review, you would have heard from me, because it was awful.
You know, yeah, you really, you hold my taste to the fire, and I appreciate that. Because I shouldn't get away with my crazy opinions. But yeah, that is one that you and I were 100% in agreement on. And it's, you know, regardless of taste, it is very unfortunate to hear. So, of course, Anthony Rapp, the star of the original Broadway production of Rent, mm-hmm. and on Star Trek Discovery, of course, wrote that that piece for BuzzFeed, I think. It was either BuzzFeed or The Hollywood Reporter, where he revealed that Kevin Spacey had attempted to seduce him when he was a teenager, which is, of course, awful. And it's forced us to look at him in a new light. And it's all part of this very strange and great, in a way, revolution where we're learning all about this awful behavior in Hollywood, and these people that have been behaving in this way for many years are finally getting their comeuppance.
Yeah, we are going to talk more about this. I know you have quite a bit of insight into this, more so than I do because of who you know in the industry. More, Hannah Stanley talking to Johnny Olesinski. By the way, you can follow him on Twitter at JohnnyOMG, and that he is entertainment writer for the New York Post. Hannah Stanley filling in for Dave Plyer. I'll be back with you right after this. We are back. It's WGN. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Dave Plyer. I want to welcome my guest back again, Johnny Olesinski, who is Chicago's very own. He was a Tribune writer for a while, and then we lost him to the New York Post, where he is an entertainment writer. You can follow him at the New York Post, find his columns all the time. And recently you did a Coco review that was in this week's paper for Coco, the new Disney Pixar film. We when last we spoke a couple minutes ago, we started talking about this kind of revolution that's happening in entertainment, not just in Hollywood, but also starting to incorporate some of our better known stars also of the stage. Harvey Weinstein kind of was the juggernaut that started this whole waterfall of reports, accusations, etc. What are you hearing and learning kind of from the inside?
Well, so a few minutes ago, Hannah, we were talking about Kevin Spacey.
Yes.
You know, the lead in House of Cards, the lead in, this is the most mind-boggling thing, right? So Kevin Spacey was not the lead, but he was the title character in the J. Paul Getty movie about, you know, the billionaire who, when his Getty's nephew was kidnapped, he tried to disavow himself of the controversy, right? Mm-hmm. So in the movie, that his daughter-in-law is played by Michelle Williams, and that role, J. Paul Getty, was supposed to be played by Kevin Spacey, but after the controversy happened, sort of the studio made this unprecedented announcement that they were going to, by the December 22nd release date, recast it. And that's Christopher Plummer now. So at this moment, while we are talking, they are reshooting scenes that Kevin Spacey had shot. Kevin Spacey was going to have an Oscar campaign. And now they're reshooting those scenes with Christopher Plummer to make the same release date. That is how intense this is.
The editors have typically months to churn out a movie. Now reshooting this. They have to be editing around the clock.
It's unprecedented. The only times that you and I would have heard of something like this is when an actor has died, say during Gladiator. I forget the name of the actor, but they actually animated some of that actor's scenes. Or it happens occasionally when an actor will die that they'll recast it or something like that, but they're prepared. This is that they're still trying to push this movie out for award season. They're hoping that audiences forget that they think that Kevin Spacey will actually affect their ticket sales, or that, you know, the prestige they were going for to get awards will be totally eviscerated by his newfound reputation. And we've never really seen that, right? Where, we've had actors in Hollywood do bad things, Mel Gibson or Woody Allen, mm-hmm. and they just sort of keep on keeping on.
Polanski, who had support of a ton of Hollywood.
You know, they'll disappear for a minute, and then they'll kind of go, we sort of forgive them. And I think that time is done.
It's been interesting because when we have had poor behavior that there's been essentially slaps on the wrist for, mm-hmm. examples that you've just given, it really has sort of been a one and done. This is a time where there is this tsunami of she said it and I can too, and she's making me braver, or she's making me realize that I'm empowered to say no. Harvey Weinstein, that got ugly fast, and it wasn't even a question anymore. It was like, well, you know, one or two, maybe, I don't know. But now it was there's criminal investigations happening. There's divorce has been filed for all of these things. And it really has empowered a whole group of women who have been, I guess, dealing with this for decades and decades. We have all heard of the casting couch. This is, you know, this is something that's in the vernacular for a reason, because it actually existed. And now women and supportive men are saying not going to happen anymore, or at least they're calling people out for it.
Right. And in the case of our generation, the casting couch is really defined by Harvey Weinstein. Mm-hmm. This is something that people have, you know, it's actually weird for me. I feel guilty about it. I guess I felt surprised in that so So you had said at the beginning of the segment that I used to write for the Tribune. And, of course, I wrote about Chicago theater, right? So most of my entertainment background is that. And when I moved to New York about 3 years ago, I started writing mostly about movies and television. And I did not know about the personal lives of producers. The theater producers to some extent, but as far as I'm aware, no one has as
prolific,
disreputable yes. and awful and horrific a reputation as Harvey Weinstein does. So when this all happened, a lot of my colleagues who'd been covering this for years were saying, finally, we've known about this, or we've heard about it, or I've heard whispers. That's the kind of the thing everyone in the industry, not just media, but in Hollywood, has heard whispers. And then it finally came down, thanks to a really great, that October 5th bombshell report from the New York Times. Mm-hmm. And it was just so odd. It's like with Kevin Spacey. It's the same thing. When I was, so we talked about Tony night, right? Kevin Spacey was the host of the Tony Awards last year. Not a good host. And
no.
I was at the big Tony Awards party right after. And we were up in kind of the VIP area. It was like me, him, Ben Platt, Baz Bamigboy, the Daily Mail, gossip columnist, a number of others. And I didn't really think anything of it. And then people were kind of making jokes like, oh, you know, you and Spacey and Ben Platt, like these, all these young guys and Spacey. And I just thought, ha, ha, ha.
And
it's just, yeah, it was sort of this somewhat well-known thing. And it's isn't that kind of horrifying? But at the same time, it's a strange industry, Hollywood and Broadway. There's no Hollywood HR or Broadway HR. Where do you go?
Right.
Police for these industries. So you just sort of laugh it off. And I don't blame anyone for doing that because they just don't know where to go.
Well, they don't know where to go. And the power lies with the person who is, in fact, able to make or break your career. And mm-hmm. And so while there is no police, you know, we've heard the story about Gwyneth Paltrow while she was dating and or engaged to Brad Pitt, mm-hmm. who disclosed to him that Harvey Weinstein had made advances, and he stood up for it and said, don't ever do it again.
Right.
In a matter of, you know, some form or another. And that stopped that. So there was one good guy that we are aware of, and yet that still didn't come out. You know, I know I was rather taken aback how quickly it escalated. It wasn't like, oh, this is a really, I remember reading the story the night it came out, and I was like, this could be big. And by the morning, it was 80 times bigger than I thought it could ever be. It went fast so quickly. It got huge. Project Runway, who he had been an executive, the Weinstein Company had been an executive producer, immediately pulled that labeling off of their show. His wife has been a guest judge every season that I can remember, because her line has been she's the lead designer of Marquesa. And has even been pulled into this scandal as well, that he was having his starlets dress in her clothing on the red carpet, which helped launch that that brand. It really got so ugly. I couldn't believe how bad and gross it was.
And it keeps going. It's amusing. It's like the Post has. So we've labeled this whole trend perv-nado.
Perv-nado.
So we have, you know, almost every day we will have a page or two pages with a strap at the top labeled perv-nado, just dictating either what has happened with Weinstein or, you know, oh, then now Charlie Rose is here or Senator Roy Moore. It seems like every day there's someone new. And you know, it reminded me, it was my former colleague, Kyle Smith, who is now a writer at the National Review, said, in many ways, this is our Watergate, where it's just sort of it's different in that it involves many people, but it's that sort of scandal that is redefining who we are as a culture and making us look at ourselves again, and it is dominating the news cycle.
It is, and I'm wondering, though, where I'm seeing so many of these stories, you know, again, it's the first or second story you wonder. And then when it builds and builds and builds and there's more factual data and research, then it's an obvious, right? But there are, I'm seeing more names come out, and I go, and they're like immediately being let go from their productions.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things I'm wondering, like, where is there going to be a backlash almost? We still don't have a lot of women in power within Hollywood and media and television and Broadway. Let's talk about this. Can you stay with me for a few minutes?
Of course.
All right. Hannah Stanley here, filling in for Dave Plyer. My guest currently is Johnny Olesinski. You can follow him at Twitter, Johnny OMG, or find him at the New York Post website or app. And you can find his columns on so many, many things, including movie reviews, entertainment writing, how millennials are terrible. And I'm not saying that. That was actually one of his columns. Again, New York Post, Johnny Olesinski. Hannah Stanley, filling in for Dave Plyer. More after this on WGN. We're back on WGN. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Dave Plyer. Johnny Olesinski joins me right now from the New York Post. I almost said the wrong paper. Formerly of the Chicago Tribune. That's where I was going because I'm so used to saying that. But you have been with the New York Post for longer than I can. It's been almost 3 years. It's crazy.
That's right. I've been at the New York Post in the same essential role for about 3 years, and I was at the Tribune for two.
I know.
So I join you from the metropolis of Washington Heights, which Lin-Manuel Miranda
made famous
brilliantly in the Heights.
Yes, 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 yes. The birthplace of Hamilton, and where a lot of our, actually the Heights were, wasn't a lot of Hamilton placed there. Didn't he do a lot of stuff in Washington Heights?
Yeah, it's actually, I wrote a story maybe about 2 years ago when Hamilton was at its height there, about 10 blocks south of me. So it's essentially Harlem, but we're talking, you know, a 15-minute walk, is the Hamilton Grange, which is the final home of Hamilton. So you can visit his house. You could walk right up to his son Philip's, you know, because Philip, who dies in the show,
mm-hmm.
You could, and he plays the piano with his mother Eliza throughout the first act. You can see that piano, the real one, there. And I spent there a few hours there one summer afternoon and talking to people that were actually tearing up, being in the presence of all of these famous things right after they had seen the musical. A lot of them were in New York to see the musical, or they were at least inspired by the musical to come see his real home.
We are going to talk more about the Hollywood scandals in just a moment, but I have to share a quick story. I was in Ohio at my sister's house. She has five children. I have two. So between there are, I think, six of them at one point. I had worked an overnight shift and was trying to go to sleep because I had been here. And so I was in a different room trying to nap. And all of a sudden, all of the children who were together started singing King George from Hamilton. Da 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 da. I'm like, it just knows no bounds. All generations love Hamilton. And then please be quiet because I have to go to sleep. That was where I was. That was my brain processing at that point. Now, getting back to this Hollywood scandal, my concern is that there is, obviously there's going to be roles for women. There always have been. But I'm wondering where that pendulum is going to swing, because how are they going to police this going forward? Is it going to be, you know, word of honor? How are they going to, are women going to be less hired? You know, it's not as balanced as it should be.
Well, I think this actually might amount to a better employment situation for women. And you know, this might be overly reactionary in some ways, but I wonder if this actually means that more women will be hired because perhaps the assumption reigns supreme that women will be less problematic. Remember that the interesting thing about Hollywood and Broadway and all of it is that these are very capitalist organizations. So ultimately, they want good press and they want to sell tickets and get awards. Mm-hmm. And when you have these scumbags that are messing around and doing awful stuff and making their companies look bad while they ruin people's lives, that does not sell tickets in 2017, and it does not win awards. So they just want to get these guys out. Part of the reason I actually think Harvey Weinstein finally came to light, as I said, people have known this for years. Mm-hmm. The people, the other movie reporters, they all kind of knew about it in vague terms. But, you know, his last big movie was Lion, right? And that was supposed to, in a way, be his comeback, and the Weinstein Company's comeback. Did not win awards, did not make money. Mm-hmm. So Weinstein finally came out at the bottom of his power. You know, which is kind of an interesting thing that, of course, this powerful guy, we finally learn about him when he's not powerful.
Interesting.
I think not necessarily
true for Charlie Rose or Jeffrey Tambor or John Lasseter, who we're now hearing about as well. These are people who, and even Kevin Spacey, really, with House of Cards doing incredibly well. These are people who are still very much in the play.
Absolutely. And, I think that with Weinstein, it broke a lot of barriers for journalism where, for good and for bad, where we do hold those stories at newspapers to a strong standard. And now those stories are held to a slightly lesser standard. I was interested, there was a story in the Los Angeles Times this week about they have the LAPD has like a task force to deal with all of this. And they have something like 38 open cases of sexual harassment in Hollywood and media. And then they have 27 cases that they've given to other agencies. And we're kind of all learning together how to handle all of it, especially en masse as it is.
So this is a new task force? And they're taking new reports.
Designed. Yeah, because after Weinstein, basically there was this tsunami mm-hmm. of admissions, and we've seen it in the news, but there's actually more than we know as people that read and watch TV. There's more happening behind the scenes, which is kind of scary, kind of good.
Well, it's both. But if it's, as we know, big names sell papers and mm-hmm. television shows and news stories, so if there are big names that are involved, Harvey Weinstein wouldn't necessarily have been a big name to the world, except for who he was harassing and who he was being a predator on and with, mm-hmm. you know. So that's what's happening. If there are lesser known producers and lesser known actresses or actors, as the case may be, then, yeah, it wouldn't necessarily be making headlines because there's too many people who are famous who are.
Yeah. But as you said about women being hired, and this may be hurting women employment in Hollywood and in the media, it's strange because the women that have bravely come forward, you know, at first it started, yes, you had names like Ashley Judd and sort of well-known people. And then suddenly, you know, if Glenn Close releases a statement or Judi Dench releases a statement, are we going to blackball all these people? And then you have people at every level. You have, production managers and interns and assistants. It's sort of brilliant. So that whole Me Too movement.
Yes.
So if we limit it to Hollywood, you started to learn that, okay, everyone at every level of power, from top A-lister to first day on the job assistant that wants to make it big in Hollywood was victimized in some way by somebody. And can we go, okay, well, we're just not going to hire women? Absolutely not.
Okay.
I hope that it leads to fairer hiring, if anything.
Agreed. Agreed. And really, perhaps with the studios and the television production as primarily, because a lot of those are bigger corporations where they do have HR. So perhaps, you know, this actually used to be a lot worse, without very specifics, but when the phrasing of the casting couch existed, you know, those studios had those actresses and actors under contract, controlled everything. They could do whatever they wanted. And none of that, all of that messaging was controlled by the studios. Now we have actors and actresses who are free agents. But while they are under production for a film or a television show, perhaps those corporations will be able to better monitor this, have some checks and balances in place to protect multiple levels of employees from interns, assistants, et cetera, on up.
Yeah, Hollywood is so tough. You know, something that's come up a lot, and it's not just Hollywood. So, you know, I was thinking about the show Feud with Susan Sarandon and Jessica Lange, mm-hmm. and just the way, so it's a depiction of, you know, a starlet, and so like Bette Davis in the 1930s and 40s and 50s, and we kind of glamorized the way sort of the director, the producer relationship with actresses at that time, or in the business sector, Mad Men, right?
Right.
We really devoured this sort of 60s nostalgic women being treated abysmally thing because it was pretty and grungy and artsy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not that these artistic depictions necessarily need to go away, but it made me think twice about just our image of these industries and what we celebrate and why we celebrate it.
Yeah, I was over the weekend watching a Jerry Seinfeld documentary, and in it, he spends about 5 minutes talking with Bill Cosby. Really discussing the comedy craft and the evolution and really paying reverence to who Bill Cosby was as a comedian. And I'm not going to lie, it was a little uncomfortable because of what we know now. So I was like, wow, I wonder if they re-edited that, if they would cut it. But it doesn't pull away from the fact that Bill Cosby was a brilliant comedian that opened doors for so many, but it doesn't mean that he was a great human, as we've learned. Johnny, I cannot thank you enough for your time, for staying up for me. You are you're just awesome. Thank you so much, and I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and I hope to talk to you before the Christmas season.
Yeah, thank you, Hannah, and have a happy holidays.
Thank you so much. Again, Johnny Olesinski, you can find him in the New York Post, writing for the New York Post, or on their app and their website. And you can also follow him on Twitter at JohnnyOMG. I always give that out because I came up with that. That was my, his Twitter handle was my creation. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Dave Plyer. More on WGN right after this. Hannah Stanley, this is me filling in for Dave Plyer tonight on WGN. Boy, that Johnny Olesinski, man, he is a gem.
He is awesome.
He is awesome.
And you miss him so much.
I do. I can't stand it. It's the worst. However, we have Gene on the phone right now from Oak Park calling in wanting to talk more about what we were just talking about with Johnny Olesinski, primarily the Hollywood scandal. The sexual harassment scandal, to put it very mildly. Gene, thanks for your call.
Yeah, I was wondering, ever since we found out Rock Hudson was gay,
mm-hmm.
I started thinking in my head, I wonder if that's why James Dean committed suicide, because they appeared in at least one movie I can think of, Giant. And you know, even James Dean was advertising, don't drive fast, you know, and then that's how he died. And mm-hmm. I just wondered if he committed suicide and if Rock Hudson took advantage of him. We'll never know.
We'll never know. And I think there's so many things that we'll never know. Marilyn Monroe would be another great example of somebody. I know things are coming out now about Judy Garland and how she was treated by the studio, forced abortions for some of the starlets.
Because, oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I didn't hear that one.
They very much controlled what was going to be happening for their careers. And it really had less to do with the actor or actress's careers and more to do with the Hollywood studio scheduling.
And it's no wonder poor Judy Garland turned out the way she did. And wasn't she basically an alcoholic?
Oh, without question. And severe issues with pills. And that is the case with so many of them. And I think even current day, you know, we're hearing from Corey Feldman about things that happened to him and to Corey Haim. So this is something that has been really a breeding ground for predatory behavior.
It's
for a very long time.
Unbelievable and so sad, so very sad.
Horribly sad. And I've not heard much about Drew Barrymore or from Drew Barrymore lately, but we do know that she's admitted to being at Hollywood parties drinking when she was 9 years old. And that had something to do with her mom. But I think that what we are seeing today and, you know, the past several weeks in Hollywood, and given the fact that we all have sort of an immediate, I always question the immediacy of what we're able to access because it's not necessarily able to be fleshed out and the truth sometimes gets buried by what is convenient. However, I think currently what we're able to do and access and allow people voices is really going to be very empowering and change how some of this moves forward. So I'm very sad that it is at a point where we need to have this conversation and where this needs to come forward. I hate that this has happened to people for decades and decades, but I'm really glad that that people, not just women, are empowered to say this.
I think it's important that they bring it up. I don't care how much talk there is about it. It needs to be brought out there and not just a temporary, you know, a conversation. It has to be out there and settled once and for all.
Well, and we need to believe. You know, I'd love to live in a place where I could believe people when they said this happened. Anything happened. And you can't always, and that's unfortunate. But this has become more of a place, a safer place, if you will, to say that these things have happened. I think you're going to have more inherent support than you might have even 6 months ago.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you so much for covering this subject. I appreciate that.
Jean, I appreciate your call. You have a great night.
And you as well. Happy holidays.
Thanks, you as well. All right, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to turn you over to Roger for the news. And then on the other side of the news, a very special guest, Roger Badish. Roger is going to bring you the news, and then Roger is going to be my guest for the next two segments talking about his former employer, Mayor Harold Washington. So let's take a quick break. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Dave Plyer. I will be with you for another hour and 2.5 minutes right after this on WGN.
Still crazy.
Did you hear what I did there, Roger? It's 4 a.m. Hannah Stanley filling in for Dave Plyer tonight. This morning, technically. Less than an hour left with you before I give up the airwaves.
I like how you did that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I heard that on the way home today, and
that's
I was like,
"Great song." Love
I know. Song. Do you remember when he came out on Saturday Night Live dressed as the turkey?
On the what?
Paul Simon came out on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Dressed as a turkey and sang Still Crazy after all these years. I love that.
Back
it
when
makes
he
me
wasn't
so happy.
Angry at everybody.
I don't know. Maybe he was.
Well, it could have been. Yeah.
So, Roger.
Hi.
I like that you just said you're ready to join the conversation. And I was like, yeah, you are, because you're the conversation the next two segments.
Yeah.
We always joke, Patty and I specifically always talk about how in our brain, it's still the day until we go to sleep.
That's
so
true.
So even though it's now technically Sunday morning, mm-hmm. good morning to those of you waking up. Hannah Stanley filling in for Dave Plyer, just in case you just woke up. But while I was planning for the show, it was Saturday, and mm-hmm. it was the 30th anniversary of the passing, the death while in office of Mayor Harold Washington.
Yeah.
You worked not only for Jane Byrne, but also Harold Washington.
Correct.
A very, very interesting time in our city's history for this particular reason. First and thus far only female mayor mm-hmm. of the city of Chicago.
That's right.
Then transitioned into first black mayor mm-hmm. of the city of Chicago. We've since only had one other.
Right. Eugene Sawyer.
Yes.
Who was the fill-in mayor
right
until the next election, and that was by if people don't know the story, initially Alderman Tim Evans was considered to be the choice,
the go-to person when Washington
to take over
away.
Right, and not that anyone expected Harold Washington to pass away.
No, but they always have a pecking order just in case.
Pretty much, yeah. But then there were some late night backroom.
What? No.
In Chicago?
In Chicago?
Actually, it didn't happen at City Hall. It happened at a kitchen of a restaurant else in the city.
Another Hamilton reference. That's in the room where it happened.
That's right. So, and then Eugene Sawyer came out from that meeting of many different factions, and filled in for the rest of the term till the next election.
Okay, so Harold Washington mm-hmm. to this day is still the only elected
correct
black mayor mm-hmm. of the city of Chicago. You were one of very few holdovers from the Jane Byrne administration into the Harold Washington administration.
In the press office, yeah.
In the mm-hmm. press office, mm-hmm. okay. But I want to hear from your insider perspective. What, not necessarily that transition, you mm-hmm. know, because it was an interesting time to go from, you know, old school Chicago politics mm-hmm. into a female mayor and then the first black mayor mm-hmm. and move on from there. And then also really what 30 years of having Mayor Washington gone from us has meant for the city and what his legacy is.
Yeah. Well, I only stayed with the administration through the first 2.5 years of his first term.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away just a few months after he had won re-election. So I was already out of city government at that time. But the transition, it was a very unique time in city politics. You still had the old guard. And the old guard was kind of taken apart by the blizzard that we had that Michael Blandick mm-hmm. handled very poorly. And it kind of tore the local politics, Democratic political party, apart and kind of left a gap there. And people were so angry at what had been done that they decided to vote in Jane Byrne.
Right.
So
who really was just the opposite of what they disliked.
Exactly. And Jane had come from the Daley administration. She yes. she was a faithful Democrat of the Democratic Party of the city of Chicago. But she was anti-establishment when she ran because she had been unceremoniously dumped by the Democrats because they didn't like that she was getting preferential treatment from Daley, and that everyone kind of thought that Daley Jr. would move in should something happen to his dad. Mm-hmm. And that didn't happen. She won the election, and and kind of set the Democratic Party on its heels, which left the door open for Harold Washington, mm-hmm. only because he demanded, after the black community became disenfranchised with Jane Byrne, if you remember the protests by Jesse Jackson at Chicago right. Fest at Navy Pier. If people know what Taste of Chicago is, it used to be called yeah. Chicago Fest.
Yes.
And it originally started on Michigan Avenue, and eventually it was restaurants put it together. Actually, the Playboy chief of restaurants, who, and I forgot his name now, and he had his own restaurant in town, but he was the one who first started Chicago Fest. And it was just the restaurants with booths on Michigan Avenue right outside here. Mm-hmm. And it moved to Navy Pier.
Which
and
was
she
very
brought in.
Seedy at the time.
Yeah. She brought in people who put on the big festival up in Milwaukee during the summer. They came in and helped out and put it together. And it eventually became Taste of Chicago. But the African American community became very incensed. At the what you can find this quote, breads and circuses, mm-hmm. That they felt she was putting together and wasn't really providing jobs for the African American community. And so Jesse Jackson came in with protest, and that kind of rolled and rolled and rolled. And she came up for reelection, and she had Richie Daley Jr. and Harold Washington running against her. Mm-hmm. And the expectation was that Daley was going to take over. She had been a placeholder. Daley would come in and take over. But Harold Washington didn't want to run. Originally, he said no because there are not enough African Americans, Hispanics, and liberals that are signed up that will come out and vote, and this will be our base.
And he was a very smart man. He went to Northwestern Law.
Extremely brilliant.
And why run if you're not going to win?
Exactly. And he was already a congressman. He was doing fine.
Yes.
And he had his base. But the problem was that there was this disenfranchisement in the city. So people still hadn't recovered from the snowstorm, from the negative aspects of that. And then they did not perceive Jane Byrne, even though they came out and voted for her originally, mm-hmm. did not perceive that her administration was helping them out any.
And therefore, that opened the door for Harold Washington.
Exactly. For him to come into the race, and there was a massive voter registration project.
All right. We have to take a quick break, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we are going to continue talking about this because obviously you had firsthand knowledge working within the press office for both administrations, but specifically Harold Washington's, mm-hmm. which we are going to continue talking about. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Dave Plyer. I will be back with you and WGN right after this.
My kind of town, Chicago is.
Hannah Stanley filling in for the rest of the hour for Dave Plyer tonight. He will be back with you at 2 a.m. next Sunday morning. It still feels like Saturday. We're talking about Mayor Harold Washington, who on Saturday, which is technically yesterday, 4 hours ago, it was the 30th anniversary of his death. Our very own newsman, Roger Badish, was on his press staff. It has been 30 years since he passed away in office. It was the middle of a day when he had a heart attack that took his life. Roger, you were not with the administration at that point. You
no,
had left.
No, I had already
you had left politics.
Mm-hmm.
But in the 30 years that has passed, we have seen many different things be named after him. This is not something that would occur for someone who was not influential.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, he was a leader of the African American community and really helped bring together the city in some degrees. There were obviously the council wars that
right.
you know were very, very heated during his terms,
mm-hmm.
Even though his second term was incredibly short.
Yeah.
It was only a few months after his re-election that he had the heart attack that mm-hmm. took his life. But his legacy exists to this day. What do you sure. see as some of his bigger contributions?
Well, his efforts to open up the avenues to City Hall for the African American community is still ongoing. Having requirements for city contractors to have to hire a percentage of their workers from African American community, to have a percentage of workers as what are termed minorities on the job site if they're getting money from the city, and also the opening up of the police department to the actions, and that's still going on, actions of the police department against members of the African-American and Hispanic community.
I wasn't aware that those changes and evolutions were part of his doing.
He started the process.
That's remarkable.
Yeah. A lot of things that we take for granted now as far as being progressive in city government, he started them. He forced them through. It took him a while because, as you said, the council wars. I mean, when you have some lifelong Democrats in the city council change their political party to support the Republican candidate for mayor mm-hmm. during Harold Washington's first campaign, you got some serious issues going on in that city council. And Harold Washington and his coalition handled them. They just stood right up to him and said, you know, give me your best shot.
Were these actions groundbreaking nationally, or is this something that Chicago was behind the times on and Harold Washington was able to bring us current?
As far as the things that he championed?
Yes.
You know what? I think that was a time where all of the major urban cities were facing the same issues.
Okay.
I don't think that we were catching up at all. I still think that there are some major urban areas that are still trying to catch up to us. Chicago has made some tremendous advances, but not, I don't know if they've stagnated over the last, say, decade or so, or last 15 years, or since Mayor Washington passed away. But there are still issues within the African-American community and Hispanic community that he tried to get addressed, but that stonewalled. We're stonewalled, and we're still having issues with it. We're seeing issues with jobs, with education, with crime. All of those issues, he started programs that were meant to address them. And they were addressed for a while and then have fallen by the wayside. You saw in the last election, Chuy Garcia ran a grassroots campaign. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to run originally because, again, the support wasn't there by the community because there was a disenfranchisement of the voters in the city of Chicago that could put him over the top. Now, in a very short amount of time, he put together enough where he went into a runoff, the very first runoff that we've ever had in the city of Chicago.
He was viable enough.
Yes, he was viable enough, but not strong enough in a public campaign to overcome the negativeness that was being put out by the regular Democratic Party. And so that's why in the runoff, he pretty much got blown away. And that was the end of that.
Now, and I apologize for interrupting. If
that's all right.
With the way the campaign was able to be run in the 80s by Mayor Harold Washington, candidate Harold Washington at the time, and his coalition. Are we at a time where that could ever happen again? Or is it so driven by funding that it really isn't something where a Harold Washington type figure, a Chuy Garcia, whomever, a minority candidate would be able to go, I have enough support, I can do this?
Well, I think that if you have a candidate of the stature of Harold Washington, whether they come as a liberal, whether they come from the African-American or Hispanic community.
Or even a female, truthfully.
And again, I'm not saying by gender. I'm just saying from that political power section of the city that is currently feeling disenfranchised. If you have someone of that stature, step out, come forward to challenge the established Democratic Party in the city of Chicago. If you have that type of person, the money would then go there.
The money will find him.
Exactly.
Or her.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so while we're looking at a ridiculous amount of money in political campaigns, not only in Chicago, but nationwide, which kind of, I really think, makes the average voter feel like they don't have a voice in this. I think that if that personage makes themselves available to the public and can coalesce the diverse communities and give them a reason to vote, the money will find that person and the votes will be there. Again, it would have to undergo what the backers of Harold Washington did, which he refused to run until they signed up enough voters.
Okay.
Where he, because there were people living in Chicago who were eligible to vote that were not registered voters.
And there are a lot of people in Chicago who maybe didn't exist any longer who were registered to vote still. That happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's Chicago.
It's Chicago.
It's Chicago.
Vote early and often.
Yeah.
Roger, thank you for your memories and commentary on our 30 years since Mayor Harold Washington left while still in office, passed away yesterday, November 25th. Hannah Stanley filling in for Dave Plyer. I'm going to get you guys to the news in just under 2 minutes, turn you back over to Roger Badish, and then we're going to do two more quick segments and wrap this baby up. Hannah Stanley, more on WGN right after this.
I was going to clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah,
because I got high.
Because I got high.
I can see Roger Badish shaking his head.
What
he does not
the?
Know where I'm going with this. Hannah Stanley filling in for Dave Plyer. Not my theme song, but wait until you hear what we're talking about now.
Oh, my God.
Black Friday sales like you've never thought about before, Roger Badish. I can't get a discount on a Dyson vacuum, but people in Las Vegas, they're offering Black Friday specials.
So you
on marijuana.
Oh.
This is totally true. Las Vegas. This is their first Black Friday since legal sales of recreational marijuana began in Nevada.
Since it was
approved
there. Yeah.
Dispensaries, some of them offered an eighth of an ounce of select flower products for $35, down from $53.
Wait, flower products?
I don't know what that means.
Do you have to grow your own?
I don't know.
You can't.
Oh, no, that would be like a seed.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what a flower product is. If you do, 312-981-7200, please text it in.
Unless that's the fancy name for
I don't think so.
The product. Oh, okay.
My husband's from Colorado.
Okay.
I think
so
I would
he's
have
well
felt
aware
that.
Of.
Oh, I don't think he's well aware of it. I think that I would have heard of what that is.
Oh, okay.
If that was. Phew. Just let's clarify.
I'm sorry. I said sorry. Sorry. Sorry.
No. this is my favorite thing I believe about this entire story. Is this quote from Senator Tick Siegerblum?
It's easy for you to say.
I practiced. And I quote, it's a great stocking stuffer, and now you can treat it like alcohol in that regard. As long as no kids can get to it, it's for adults only.
Well, yeah.
That's, he told us. I did the quick math.
Yeah.
$35 down from 53 is essentially 33% off. So that's a decent, that's a solid discount.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially an eighth of an ounce.
How much is that? What's an eighth of an ounce? Is that like that one joint?
I have no idea. That would be 1/8 of 1 ounce. Well, so if you cut that, if you cut an ounce into 8 pieces, mm-hmm. that would be one of those. I don't know what that means, especially because flour products, some flours are very light.
That's true. Maybe it's too
little math going on here.
A little math.
WGN Radio early in the morning. Here.
They hire us because we're smart, and not necessarily
half
smart
asleep.
About marijuana usage. Right. I really have no idea. One dispensary.
Well, someone could call in and let us know.
Absolutely,
an eighth of an ounce of plant substance.
I feel like the people who are very knowledgeable about this, are probably asleep.
Maybe not. I think this has been a very educational program, and I think they would have stayed up, especially since it's a holiday weekend.
I would hope that they found us engaging, but it's also it's late slash early.
Well, actually, if you take a different look at it, we're early now on Sunday, so they should be waking up.
I still don't
their
think
Sunday
that's
going.
Necessarily the audience that would be awake. One dispensary gifted shoppers a 10-pack of Fruit Chew edibles with any purchase.
Ooh.
While another had a buy one, get one free specials on edibles.
Nice. Well, because you always get the munchies, you know.
I think the edibles are just a different way of ingesting the marijuana.
Yeah.
So therefore, then you would still have munchies for other types of food.
Bridget, with her rheumatoid arthritis, which is covered in the state of Illinois for
medicinal
whatever.
Marijuana.
She did get a card, and she did go, and I couldn't go with her into the store because I didn't have a helper's card. There's such a thing.
But it's not a dispensary because, like I said, I've been in Colorado since this has become legal a couple of times. And there, I mean, it is, you drive down the street and they're all over. It is big business
out
there.
But this is not that big in Illinois yet. And the windows are covered and the products are behind walls and screens. And you go in, but they have these notebooks with all of their products. You're going shopping at the,
like service merchandise?
Kind of. It's more like, what's the fruit basket company?
Harry and David?
Yes, it's more like a Harry and David's. You can get a couple of apples, you can get a couple of oranges, you can get a couple of bananas, you can get a small fruit basket, you can get a large fruit basket. You could have your choice of getting the medicine in many different forms.
Okay, so that's what they're talking about.
That's what they're talking about is the edibles.
The fruit chew edibles
versus
different types of edibles.
So you get your medicine and you cure your munchies at the same time.
All right. So legal sales of recreational marijuana began in Nevada July 1st, and those 21 and older with a valid ID can buy up to 1 ounce of pot. People can only use the drug in a private home as it remains illegal to consume it in public, including the Las Vegas Strip hotels and casinos. Because I have never, she says sarcastically, never seen anyone doing drugs on the Las Vegas Strip.
Oh, gosh, no. Huh.
Or smelled it.
You can get high just going from one casino
to the other. Andrew Jolly, I'm not kidding. That's his last name.
He's Jolly.
Andrew Jolly, owner of dispensaries and president of the Nevada Dispensary Association.
I'm sorry. Dave's in the corner singing, Have a Holly Jolly Christmas.
Dave Schwann will be joining us in just a little bit. I was able to give him a hug a second ago. Cannabis use has been misunderstood and vilified in our country for over 80 years. So this day will feel both surreal and celebratory. We're very excited about the first holiday season of adult use in Nevada.
Well, it is green.
So it's Christmassy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Make a wreath out of it.
Well, it's like mistletoe, but different.
Somebody lit the mistletoe.
Sing it again.
I can actually hear Dave Schwann singing, oh, the mistletoe.
Yes.
I think we're going to have you guys write and record a parody song. Are we sure that we didn't get into Bridget's medicinal?
I don't know. Did we get into Bridget's medicinal amount of...
Oh...
This is your serious newsroom.
And Dave just got here, so it's not he's slap happy. So, yeah, it's very interesting to me, though, that they would be offering Black Friday specials. I have to tell you, it really is. I've seen the industry really not even blossom. I mean, it was like 0 to 1,000 miles per hour that the dispensaries rolled out in the state of Colorado. They were ready.
Well, once they figured out how they could make money off of this thing.
Well, and the way they make it is cash. It's cash only.
Yeah, right. I know.
Yeah, federally, it's still illegal.
Yeah.
And so it's very interesting. They all have these tremendously huge safes. They spend a good portion of their money on security.
Yeah.
Because it's all completely a cash business.
That's right.
And that's how they pay their employees, et cetera. It's cash, cash, cash.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a lot of people walking into Las Vegas to buy Black Friday specials.
How long is the special good for?
Well, it said Black Friday, so I'm guessing it was just
the other
day.
Just Friday?
You
got to come out with the stuff before it happens.
Well,
come on.
I don't know. I mean, like the Gap rolled over their specials, so maybe...
Maybe they'll roll
the pot smoking population.
Maybe they'll roll their special.
I get it.
There's got to be a Cyber Monday, man. Come on.
Well, if you take the stuff, you don't realize that it was Cyber Friday until Monday or whatever it was. Black Friday until. Never mind.
Well, it's Giving Tuesday.
What?
We've got Giving Tuesday. We have Small Business Saturday, so that could have been a thing.
Yeah.
It's all small business, man. Yeah,
everybody got small.
Hey, thanks to 815 who sent me the glossary of marijuana terms.
Oh, okay. We still don't know how many joints you can get out of an eighth of an ounce. What did they say about a flower?
The flowers of a cannabis plant refer to the hairy, often sticky bud or parts of the plant. That are, hold on.
Next page.
That's exactly, that are harvested and used to consume. It was very Paul Harvey of me, and yet not at all. Page two. Are used to consume in a variety of marijuana products. Technically speaking, they're the reproductive organs of the plant, and when fertilized by a male plant, seeds will be produced.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I still don't know why you would be purchasing that, but that's the thing.
So you could go to the store and get a cutting.
Merry Christmas, y'all. Guess what you're getting in your stocking. New meaning to smoke them if you got them.
Just take them out of the socks first.
All right. Hannah Stanley, I'm filling in for Dave Plyer for the last quarter hour.
It's been a blast.
Oh, boy. All right. More on WGN right after this. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for the last 10 minutes for Dave Plyer. I really like it when Dave is on, but I really, really like it when I get to fill in. So thank you to Dave Plyer for working super hard during the first part of the week and taking tonight off. Tonight slash this morning. Boy, Joe, this show flown by. Flown. So much so that we have 17 stories that we didn't get to.
Whoops.
It happens. Things were more important. One of the big stories that we've been talking about a lot and has been kind of gone viral, as they say, is the woman who raised a ton of money for a homeless man who helped her. He used his last $20 to buy her gas. She ran out of gas on Interstate 95, and a homeless man, Johnny Bobbitt Jr., walked a few blocks and bought her some gas with his last $20. She didn't have money to repay him, or she would have bought her own gas, but returned to the road several times to give him cash, clothes, and food. After a few visits, she started a fundraiser, which would have been and might still currently be on GoFundMe.com, hoping that she could raise some money for him to help him better his life. He is a 34-year-old man. She said, "I wish that I could do more for this selfless man who went out of his way just to help me that day. Truly believe that all Johnny needs is one little break." At last, when you pulled this story for me, the story, it was at 60,000, and now it is over 364,000. $364,000. That's quite a break. But here's the follow-up. He wants to use most of this money to pay it forward to others. I love this story. This is the ultimate holiday story.
It's literally goosebumps. You know, like I knew the story. I handed it to you.
Yes.
And you reading it back it does more than put you in the holiday spirit. It makes you feel like you need to pay it forward. You need to step up and be a good person.
I love stories. I love people that make me want to be a better person. That's really what we should all, in my opinion, that's what we should all strive for, is to be a better person than yesterday. And this is exactly the kind of person I want to be, is somebody who can, one, use my last $20 to help somebody else, and two, really be able to change someone's life in even a tiny, small way. She thought she was just going to help him out a little bit, and $60,000 would have made a huge difference in his life. $364,000, and this is not done yet, is it?
No. I don't see an end date here, but it doesn't look like it's anytime soon.
And his commentary, when I read it, and I love that you and I both found the same story, because I was reading this today. And I think when the producer and I both go, this is a good one, that's kismet also. But he wants to utilize the majority of the money to help other people also. So many sides of good within that story. Really, really makes you feel great. And it's perfect at the Christmas season, too.
Absolutely. Inspiring.
Thanks. So much to give thanks for.
Absolutely.
For so many people involved in that story. Here's another wacky story. This is a wacky one. So we go from feel good of the year to, I don't believe in science, says flat earther set to launch himself in own rocket. Didn't science make the rocket?
No.
Okay. I don't believe in science, Hughes said. I know about aerodynamics and fluid dynamics and how things move through the air, about the certain size of rocket nozzles and thrust, but that's not science. That's just a formula. There's no difference between science and science fiction. No, pretty sure I learned that stuff in science class.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Nope.
Okay. I'm confused by this. His name is Mad Mike Hughes. Yep. He's a limousine driver, and he plans to launch himself in a mile-long flight over the Mojave Desert. By the way, the Mojave Desert, you can see the curvature of the Earth. Just thought I'd mention that.
How flat is it?
It's not.
It's pretty flat.
Not if you get up higher. So that's a weird one. Moving forward on the time zone, on the timeline, in England, there was a child traumatized by a shopping center's reindeer decoration in a Christmas grotto. I don't know. I saw this. I don't necessarily know that it's a reindeer. Apparently, this year's theme in Kent, the mall shopping center in Maidstone, Kent, has a medieval theme. And one of the decorations was a trophy of a deer. And a child was traumatized thinking that Santa had killed one of his reindeer and then hung it on his wall. And the mom then freaked out and said, I tried to move on quickly so he was not too scared and his Christmas reindeer beliefs weren't crushed. Couldn't she have just explained it wasn't a reindeer?
Yeah, that would have been the best way to handle it.
I mean,
maybe she got the advice from the rocket guy.
There it is. See? All right.
We're coming full circle. Or yeah. Flatline. We're coming flatline.
There is a circle.
Yeah.
So they have since, the mall has since removed this. Other people were less than thrilled by it. Also, they found it inappropriate. The shopping center has taken it down. It is put up a fuss. People put up a fuss about it. The shopping center's annual Christmas grotto has raised more than 200,000 euro for various charities. But people are still upset. But I mean, I'm pretty sure I know what reindeer horns look like, and I don't think they look like deer horn. Right?
I agree.
That's a difference, right?
Big time.
I don't know if it's big time. Last story I'm going to talk about, I read the cutest story today about a little girl who was flying with her mom in Scotland. They sat down on the plane and realized that Teddy, the little four-year-old girl's stuffed bear, her best friend in the world, was nowhere to be found. She, the mother, summoned the flight crew. They established that it more than likely was somewhere lost around security. The flight crew said, you can't get off. You'll never make it back in time. They landed 200 some miles away. She began, the mom, calling the airport, the previous airport, and said, trying to find the Teddy because there's going to be drama. And she got nowhere, went to Facebook. A member of a flight crew found Teddy and then flew it to the destination for the little girl. Awesome story.
That's incredible.
We are going to go very quickly. Wrap this up.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.